So this week, June 6th, will mark 50 years since the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. That was happening as he campaigned, of course, 2 months before the Democratic National Convention. See Richard Allen joining us right now about the book he co-authored, and it's called RFK, His Words for Our Times. It's a collection of his speeches and essays and commentary by various individuals, and we want to talk a little bit about it. Rick joins us on the phone from Washington, D.C. Rick, nice to have you here with us. Tell us a little bit about this book and some background, because 25 years ago, you did another book. Correct?
There was an earlier version of the book that we put out in 1993 in connection with the 25th anniversary of Robert Kennedy's death. I wanted to reissue it this year in conjunction with the 50th, not so much because the calendar indicated it, but because particularly having spent the last year going through the speeches and talking to world leaders who have been influenced by Robert Kennedy, it was clear that his words, his vision for America, really spoke to our times. And that's why we felt it important to put it back out. And HarperCollins was kind enough to want to publish the book. And so we are delighted to have it out. And one of the essays that opens the book, as you mentioned, they're half page to page from four presidents, five Nobel Peace Prize winners. But one of the essays is Howard Schultz. So the impact of Robert Kennedy is very much of the moment. And that was what drew us to the project, and really, I think, what readers will find.
Right.
The book centers on his core public remarks over the course of his career. We write the narrative weave of his life and times around it so that everything's in context. And then, as I said, we've got about 30 of these legacy reflections.
You mentioned Howard Schultz, of course, Howard Schultz of Starbucks, who I said incorrectly, I think, earlier that he was a founder, not necessarily a founder, but he really was someone who brought that chain to the forefront and made it so ubiquitous, if you will, when it comes to coffee. I mean, really changed the industry. What's interesting, I want to go back to your book, though. I said to somebody earlier about, a story, a news piece that I'd seen about RFK over the weekend. And I said, you know, God, it was such a tumultuous time. You know, JFK, and then you had Martin Luther King, and then, of course, Robert F. Kennedy, and, you know, race relations were terrible. There were so many problems. Poverty. I saw a piece, I think, where he went to Mississippi and just said, you know, if I was in a developing world, I could understand this. But here I am in America and these people living in abject poverty. And you look at some of these speeches and a lot of it would still apply to today.
Yes. And I mean, you can take a look at that from one of two different ways, right? Obviously, it's depressing to think that these have been intractable issues for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still the struggles that we have to solve. And I think that was Robert Kennedy's sense of what it meant to think about American exceptionalism. Not that we had ever achieved perfection, but what has made America the engine for the world really is that we are constantly striving to get closer to our objectives and our ideals. And I believe very strongly that Robert Kennedy helps chart that path for us, chart it politically, and thinking about coalitions that can, again, reconcile the country. As you pointed out, his time was even more polarized and dangerous than our own.
That's an interesting point, right? Because I do feel like in having conversations with individuals about how much frustration about kind of where we are as a country at this point. But having said that, as you say, go back 50 years, and it's a reminder that it may not be perfect, but we definitely have made some progress.
We have made progress, not enough. And I think if we recommit to trying to achieve a reconciled country that's moving forward on these issues, there will be a renewed sense of optimism as we kind of all put our shoulders together to the grindstone.
Is there one speech in particular, and I know this is always like picking your favorite child. I hate to do that.
It's the Sophie's Choice. Yeah,
but talk to me as you were putting this book together and going through speeches and talking with people like President Obama, President Clinton, Maren Wright Edelman, talking to various individuals who wrote essays about these different speeches. Tell me, you know, if there's anything in particular that really struck you.
Well, I'll say three things. The best speech in my mind that he gave, or frankly anybody gave in the second half of the 20th century, was in Cape Town, South Africa, at the university there on June 6th, 1966, so 2 years to the day before his death. It's a beautiful and often quoted speech that is electrifying today, much less at the time. The best kind of two-speech combo were his extemporaneous remarks in Indianapolis on April 4th of 68, the night that Martin Luther King was killed, when he had to bring that news to a community in the inner city of Indianapolis who had not known of Dr. King's death. And then the next day, in a written prepared speech in Cleveland before a largely white business group. And those two together are again extremely poignant and on point for us today. And I think the best paragraph, my favorite paragraph, came from a speech in New York City in December 1967, where he ended his speech trying to talk about what it means to be an American. And he said, it is not easy to know what it means, but in part, to be an American means to have been an outcast and a stranger, to have come to the exile's country, and to know that he who denies the outcast and stranger still amongst us, he also denies America.
Which is really telling, considering, you know, something we're seeing certainly in the United States, but really seeing globally, a pushback against immigration, if you will, that certainly in this country is the fabric of the United States. And I think we all have in our history someone who came from another land and looked for a better life. And that's what made this country.
It is. And Robert Kennedy was acutely aware of that. He was a third generation Irish immigrant, and he was well aware that his grandfather and his father had faced significant discrimination because they were immigrants. And he believed, as did his brother, President Kennedy, that that was really a betrayal of what had made America great. And so I think that's an important reminder for today. And also, you know, we're on a business program. Right. And I think Robert Kennedy reflected an approach to politics which was difficult to pigeonhole. He was certainly a progressive and often a liberal.
Right.
But he had no time for government programs that didn't work.
Rick,
he was trying to create a new solution.
It's a fascinating book, and I'm so glad we had some time with you. Steve Richard Allen, Rick Allen, co-author, RFK, His Words for Our Times, joining us on the phone from Washington. Really a moving book. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets, and this is Bloomberg Radio.